about seeing the Lord at work in your life and surrendering unto Him. What else have we talked about? Giving thanks and what that means, how that's talked about in the Word. The Lord is doing a mighty work within this land and within this nation, and that we are called to continue to turn to Him in our time of need. We talked on Wednesday night about Thanksgiving and how when trials and tribulations come into our lives, it draws us closer to the Lord because we turn to the Lord in prayer. And that's where God wants us to be. But we know all these things, and we still have trials, we still have tribulations, we still struggle with finding God's will in our lives, still always reflecting the light of God that is within us and the way the Lord has changed us. It's hard for other people that know our past, that know our sins, to see the changes that the Lord has brought into us. And I think that today's message goes hand in hand with all the things that have been up and coming in the last few weeks. But it talks more about who we are and how we got where we are today and how we have been changed and sanctified and glorified, and how God does a mighty work in our lives and our hearts. As I began to study this message for today, God really showed me how much influence God has had in my life and how much influence my parents have had in my life. We need to write and paint butt marks on the pew so they know where to sit. But even when, you know, there are ways that God works in our lives that we don't see, we don't realize that He's doing it, but all things work for the greater good of the Lord. Amen. God is continuing to do a mighty work in our hearts and in our lives, leading us closer to Him. And though initially things don't always make sense, when it's revealed, it does. And we're like, oh, that's why this happened. The Bible is full of stories, one person after another, that received a position of power and authority, but those positions were given to them from another person, not just necessarily the Lord. We know that God has a purpose and a plan in all of our hearts, in our lives. There's reasons things happen the way they do. And when I started studying this message and it led me to really think about who I am, what really came to my mind initially is, would I really be doing what I am doing for God if it wasn't for the things that have already happened in my life? Would I really be testifying to the wondrous hands of the Lord had I not been put through what I've been put through for the last almost 2 years? Would I not be on this pulpit doing God's work had Sam not left, stepped away and left? The position wouldn't have been open. Would I have received into my heart the guidance of God to step forward and have the courage to receive the Holy Spirit to be able to stand up here and to do God's work? Had it not been for all the things that had been done in my life. Out of all the things that I was always told in my childhood by my dad, the one thing that always remains focused in my mind is to be yourself. To not act like, I had a habit of picking up personality traits of my friends. And my dad used to say, don't be Kathy, be Brenda. Funny, I didn't even know he was going to be here today. But these are all the things that come through to my mind as I was studying, and it's like, you know, I had given, I don't remember, I think it was Father's Day, I had given Dad a card, and it said, on the front of the card it said, you've molded my character, you've molded my, there was like three things that said it molded. You've molded my character, you've molded my personality, you've molded my whatever. And then you opened it up and it said, Happy Father's Day from Old Moldy. And I always remember that card because it's so true. Your parents, the way they raise you, we might not always agree with the things that are done in our lives. We might not always agree with the way things are done. But our parents really lead to our character. And God does as well. We're not in the positions that we are today because of happenstance. It's not just chance that our lives are what they are. I don't believe in that. We have a destiny that the Lord puts in a plan. He puts into place. He leads and guides us to our responsibilities, our levels of authority. They're given by God, and they're also given by opportunities by another person. Let's talk about a few of those people that have talked, that have been led in their lives. Joseph is one. Do you remember the story of Joseph with the technicolor dream coat? We're gonna start going into stories and of people, because I don't know. I mean, we talk a lot about traits and ways God wants us to live, but I also want, even for the children, to know who some of our patriarchs of the Bible are. Not all of us know the stories. You might not know who Daniel is. You might not know who Joseph is. You might not know, we should all know about Moses, but you might not know about Gideon. There are people in the Bible that are true patriarchs that have valid stories, and I think they're important to know. Not only is it important to know what Christ tells us and how he tells us to be and what we're called to do, but we also have to study the Old Testament to have all this foundational work so that we can draw closer to all the things, and it will open our eyes in a different way. When we talk about Joseph, how much and how often he must have sat back and closed his eyes and reflected on his humble beginnings. Without getting too deep into these stories, I'm just going to give you a few things. He was jealous of his brothers. His brothers threw him in a pit. His brothers were jealous of him, I should say. They threw him in a pit. He was thrown into slavery. He was thrown into prison. But now he was given the prestige and the glory and the honor where he was given by God. And he had to think about all the way all these things began. As do we, as do I. Moses, he was the leader of the Israelites. I'm sure he woke up in the morning with his head shaking in disbelief, thinking, how did I get here? How did I get here? Me, being a sinner and a murderer. Think of Moses' life when he was, bless you, when he was an Egyptian. He lived a life of an Egyptian as a son of, or a nephew, really, of Pharaoh, but he was called a son. But before he found out that he was a Hebrew slave, he murdered a lot of people. He led armies that fought battles, and how often would he have thought about all those things that he had done? But yet for God to turn around and put him in the position that he did and to use him the way he did. God uses us in ways that we don't know. And how often do we sit back and we say, how'd I get here? Where are you taking me? Gideon was delivered a message by an angel, and he was told to form the troops, the Israelite troops, and lead them to battle. And his response to that angel was, "Sir, how can I save in Israel? My family is the poorest in the whole tribe of Manasseh, and I am the least thought of in my entire family." But he was still led up by God, placed in position to do the work of the Lord. Hard times make for straight talk. Being told the importance of standing alone, setting your own agenda, and not trying to be something that you aren't. I can still go back to the way my dad raised me and taught me that. I never succumbed to peer pressure, ever, my entire life. Never smoked anything, ever, my entire life. How often is that alone a huge thing that people fall into peer pressure with? Here, take it, you know, try it. No, never smoked. Never fell into peer pressure. I was the oldest of my family, obviously, a leader, born. I think that's the way the Lord made me, is to lead. Obviously, all with our own thoughts and our own expectations, but how the Lord works humbly in your life to lead you to Him without ever even knowing it. So we walk humbly with the Lord reflecting His light in our lives, allowing it to remind us of who we are, so that we give credit to God always and not always take credit for ourselves. Proverbs 16:17-18 says, "The highway of the upright is to depart from evil. He that keepeth his way preserveth his soul. But pride groweth before destruction, and a haughty spirit before the fall." Pride goeth before destruction. I've always noticed, and even in stupid things, that when people get puffed up with pride, they're always knocked down. God has a way of humbling you. When you think that it's your own actions and your own beginnings and your own methods that have led you to where you are, have allowed you to do the things that you have done, when you begin to get puffed up with pride, taking all the credit for all the work that you've done in your life, or that's been done in your life, if you take all that credit, that leads you to pride. And God has a way of showing you and returning you to your humble beginnings. I've seen it even in stupid stuff, like in Survivor, those reality shows. People start to get cocky and prideful and puffed up, and they're voted off. Even stupid stuff. Romans 12:3 says, "For I say, through the grace given unto me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith." We're not called to be prideful. We're called to give God all the honor and the glory, to see His mighty hand at work in our lives and in the way that He leads and guides us. Proverbs 27:2 says, "Let another man praise thee, and let not thine own mouth, a stranger, and not thine own lips." How humbling is it to hear other people speak praises about you? To hear other people brag about you? You never have? Because when I've heard that kind, I've heard it a lot, but it's like, no, it's, I always am quick to correct, because it's not me, it's God. But other people have done that. They'll say, well, you know, da-da-da-da. Use me as an example. Use my life as an example. As long as it brings honor and glory to the Lord, that's what it's called to do. God is one that makes us. God leads us down the path. He gives us the parents that He does, and hopes that they will mold our character and allow us to be the people that we are. Some of us are blessed in that way than you could ever hope to think. But the next time that we are tempted to think our position is self-appointed, we must always remember the prophet's counsel in Isaiah 51:1. It says, "Hearken to me, ye that follow after righteousness. Ye that seek the Lord, look unto the rock which hence you are hewn, and to the hole of the pit where you are digged." Look to the Lord, unto the rock which you are hewn. Teaches us we're supposed to look to the Lord, not ourselves. I am not in this position because it's self-appointed. I'm not in this position because I wanted it. I didn't seek it. I didn't apply for it. I didn't qualify for it. The word says that God doesn't call the qualified. He qualifies the called. You don't have to be a scholar. You don't have to be you don't have to have degrees in theology. You just have to be receptive, willing to listen, receive God's will in your life and in your heart, and allow Him to do the mighty work so that He can receive the glory and hopefully lead others to Him by your actions, by the ways you respond and lead and guide and glorify God. We should be an example. We've talked about this the past couple of weeks, how we are called to be an example to others and lead them to the Lord, that they may see the kindness and the light of God reflected in us, so that they will want that too, and that through our kindness and our actions, they will glorify God, that they will see God's mighty hand at work in our lives and say, hey, you know what, look at what God's done for her. If God can do that for her or him, God can do that for anyone. And that's what we're called to do, is to lead other people to the Lord by our actions. I encourage you to stop and think about who you are. What has made you be what you are today? What has led you to be where you are today? Examine your life and examine your walk with God and see if you're close enough to him, if you're putting him first in your life, if he's doing a mighty work in your heart, and if he's seeing to your needs. Also, the word in Isaiah 7 says, "Hearken unto me, ye that know righteousness, the people in whose heart is my law. Fear ye not the reproach of men, neither be ye afraid of their rivalings." We know that people will judge us. We know that people will mock us. They're going to talk about us. Continue to seek that rock. We go back to the Lord and we seek the rock in our lives, for which our foundation is laid, so that we can draw up closer and be closer to God. In verse 12, the word says, "I, even I that am he that comforteth you. Who art thou that thou shouldest be afraid of a man that shall die, and the son of man that shall be made as grass?" God is our comforter. He comforts us. He gives us the things that we have, the ways that we see, the humble beginnings that we receive, and the way he leads and guides us. "And I have put my words in thy mouth and have coveted thee with the shadow of my hand, that I may plant the heavens and lay the foundations of the earth, and say unto Zion, thou art my people." God puts his word in our heart that we may speak it. We have to seek it. Don't have enough guidance and direction in your life? You're not walking close enough to the Lord. He'll lead and guide you. But we're called to remember where we came from. We're called to remember how we got where we are. We are called to seek his ways, to give him the honor and the glory, and to show and reflect his light within others, within us, so that others may see. We are who we are because of God, because the Word has led us, for us to be raised by parents that know him, or that at least seek to do good and to do his work. Maybe not always in the best ways possible, but still do, and maybe they didn't even know it. Who's to say those that are here raising children aren't raising the next pastor for this church without even knowing it? But that we may always see our humble beginnings and to always trust in God, because he's the one that guides us. He's the one that leads us. But there is nothing better for a person temporarily elevated to return to those humble roots. We're always called to remember where we came from. Remember the quarry from which you were dug, the strong determination of a mother who bore you, and the quiet commitment of a father who cradled you through poverty and hardship and pain. When you stop and think about who you are, where you've came from, and how you got where you are, it's enough to make you sit there in silence and be grateful, to wonder what else God is doing in your life. Where do you go next? As a parent, you may sit and wonder what's to become of your children, if you did the right things. Have you done enough? Have you put enough of the Lord in their hearts? Remember that God puts it there first. You just have to be encouraged, obviously. Think about who you are. Think about how your world is founded. Is it founded on the rock? Is it founded in the Lord? Your beginnings, though, may be humble. Even now could be humble in all that's going on. But is that allowing you to continue to grow? Are you continuing to grow closer to the Lord and seek God's will in your life? Or have you turned to pride. To be able to say, I got here. This is what I'm doing. And this is where I know I want to go. Or are you seeking God's will in your life? Are you trusting in Him? Does it make you sit and stare in silence and humbleness at the things that you've done and the things that have been done in your life? Or does it make you be puffed up with pride? We're called to think about these things. We're called to think about who we are, where we've came from, and where we're going. We don't always know the where we're going part, but as long as we have faith and trust in the Lord, we don't fear it. We seek it. We seek to be closer to Him. We seek to learn more of the Word, learn more of His ways, and to trust in God and alone for all of our things, all the things we stand in need of. I encourage you to remember who you are, to remember how you got where you are, and to always remain humble, trusting in the Lord for all His ways in your life. Amen. That's it for the message today. Short and sweet. Anybody have anything to add? Any comments or questions? If all hearts and minds are clear, we may stand for dismissal.